We're waiting for a husband. I think he just walked in, actually. So our next speaker is Katie Basler and her husband, Jeff. Just walked in. Carl, welcome. When Katie first met the man who would become her husband, who was in the back, he'd show her slides of himself looking like Rip Van Winkle from his summer visits to the Southeast Alaskan wilderness. Katie and Carl and their two young children made Juneau their home 20 years ago this November. Woohoo! Katie knew she'd found her people here when she walked up to diners at the old Armadillo Tex-Mex place, and they were perfectly okay with her pointing to their food and asking what they were eating. Katie believes we tell the stories of our lives in all we do. To quote author Thomas King, the truth about stories is, that's all we are. Here's Katie.
Sometimes when visitors come over, they leave stuff behind. You know, we've all got it. It's right by the door, the plastic bowls, the old Carhartt jackets, the belts. But on a full moon evening in June of 2011, some uninvited, unexpected, and unseen visitors took something away. In fact, they destroyed it. But they also helped close the book in a chapter of our family history. That truck was impressive. We didn't know how impressive until we moved to Juneau, Alaska from Los Angeles, California in 1992 with our 4-year-old son, Kanan, and our 6-year-old daughter, Caitlin, and a black lab. Some locals seem more interested in meeting our truck than us. Where'd you get that rig? Let me explain to you. This was not just any truck. This was an extended extra cab 1985 Ford Ranger. It was the result of a vision my husband Carl had a couple years before in Los Angeles. Now, this was already a formidable vehicle. He'd already customized it with a steel canopy, the kind used by the California Highway Patrol, that had 3 doors that flipped up on 3 sides with windows with little screens. It had been on road trips to Baja, California. I'd been to New Mexico, back to California. It was the truck my husband picked me up from college in 1985 when it was shiny and navy blue and shining in the sun. A year later, we brought our daughter home from the hospital in it in San Francisco. But Carl had this vision. He wanted to cut the extra cab in half and extend it to make it the ultimate road trip vehicle, the ultimate camping vehicle for dogs and kids. There'd be lots of room. So he found a limo maker 90 minutes south of us in Anaheim. Carl babysat the surgery, and they made his vision a reality. He must have felt like Dr. Frankenstein driving that monstrosity down the LA freeway as the lesser vehicles parted for his creation. Soon, we were taking the kids on their first shorter road trips over the Angeles Crest Highway to a little ski area called Cracker Ridge, where Caitlin learned to ski using a rope tow, single chairlift. Our son, Kanan, who was 3 at the time, and as many of you know, became a formidable skier, his first association with skiing was that he got car sick and he was tired. This is a windy road. And the poor kid, he's 3 years old, he's kind of slumped down, you know, in this huge cab, right? And he can't see out the windows. He's very car sick. My sister came with us on a ski trip one weekend from San Diego. She tried to chat up her 3-year-old nephew, and he just stuck his fingers in his ears and said, "No talk." Well, a couple years after that, we're official residents of Juneau. The truck was very well known in the Eagle Crest parking lot. There were tailgate parties after skiing. People, beer drinking skiers, sipping skiers, just sort of hitting the tennis ball for our black lab. By 1999, a ski patrol colleague of Carl's nicknamed it the Y2K assault vehicle, and the moniker stuck. Now, if it was well known in Juneau, That truck was a rock star in the Yukon. We'd take it on soccer road trips. Our son was on a traveling soccer team. Chilkoot Trail hikes, you name it, camping trips to, you know, Tokini Hot Springs. Yukoners. We'd stop on the side of the road to take like a pee break or a view break. Yukoners would pull over, jump out of their vehicles. Where'd you get that rig? And they'd make an offer on it. It wasn't for sale. Well, the last of the family road trips in the truck were to the Haines Fair. And it really wasn't much of a road trip because by then the car's kind of aging. Our kids are in high school and college. We'd pile up bicycles in the back of the cab, leave the truck at the Auk Bay Ferry Terminal, get off in Haines. We'd hook up to Carl's bike, a little kiddie bike trailer that used to hold kids, fill it with camping gear, ride out to the Portage Cove campground, and find a sliver of grass and have our tent. Well, we had this REI family tent that we bought in 1991. We discovered that year that it leaked when we had our little kids on a camping trip on Molokai Island on a Christmas Eve in a driving rainstorm. And we finally got around to honoring that REI guarantee to fix anything for life 18 years later. So there we are, Carl and I, in our spacious REI tent for four in Haines. And our son is sharing a tent with his girlfriend. Our daughter sharing a tent with her boyfriend, separate tents. And Carl genuinely asked me, "Honey, where are the kids?" I had to break it to him. They grew up. Well, shortly after that, the truck was relegated to the far edge of our Douglas driveway. It leaked oil. It guzzled gas. It had one problem after another. It just didn't take it out much anymore. Now, the truck was situated below a deck that's off our bedroom with a sliding glass door. And on June 16th, 2011, it was a full moon, clear out, beautiful night. We had just gotten an accordion shade that went across the glass door. I'm a light sleeper. I woke up at 1 a.m., and I see a wall of orange behind the accordion shade. I hear crackling and whooshing sounds. Something's wrong with this picture. I'm afraid to pull back the shade. I run to the adjacent living room, look out the window, and the hood of the truck has flames just leaping sky high, singeing the electrical wire that crossed the road. If that truck was situated the opposite direction, it would have ignited our bedroom and set our house on fire. Carl's still sound asleep. I run into our room. "Get up! The truck's on fire!" Run into our son's bedroom. He's just returned from college, just graduated with his college girlfriend. "Get up! We got to get out of the house. The truck's on fire." "Welcome to Douglas, Caroline, where people burn down your truck in your driveway." Run down the stairs. The next thing I know, we're dialing 911. We're piling out of the house. We're standing on the lawn watching this thing burn. It seemed to take the fire trucks forever to get there. They finally do, and they just put the bejesus out of that fire with these gray chemicals, smoke, these plumes of gray chemicals, this acrid smell, and before we know it, what held 25 years of family memories is reduced to a sagging, charred wreckage. The Y2K assault vehicle was no more. And our son, Kanan, looked up at the wreckage, and just as he had as a carsick three-year-old 20 years before uttered two words, "No talk."